Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Bortles, play fake, dropping, looking, fires deep toward the end zone, caught by Dede Westbrook, into the end zone, touchdown! Bortles to Dede Westbrook for the score, and the Jags are on the board!
Jaguars Radio. All right. Well, as we first told you here on The Fan,
You're breaking news. Look at my little guy.
I know. Anyway, the Broncos are... Well, have Blake Bortles in town, and with everything going on and the process you have to go through to get a player onto your team and the tests that they have to pass and all that stuff, this isn't like the old days where you could just bring a guy in on a Tuesday, have him work out, and, you know, sign him to the team, and he's ready to go right away. So the fact that, Mark, the Broncos are considering him and bringing him in would seem to indicate to me, am I taking a big leap here, that they plan on signing Blake Bortles?
No, I think that I don't think there's any question they're going to sign Blake Bortles. And, you know, I'll applaud him. That's something that I've been complaining about forever. You need to sign a Blake Bortles. You need to have a veteran guy on your roster, a veteran eyes. And I realize that people will say, well, Blake Bortles, he was a third overall pick bust. And I'll tell you that that's what Miami thought about Ryan Tannehill. And since Ryan Tannehill has gotten a fresh start, backed up for a while, gotten an opportunity to see the game from a different perspective, kind of to settle down and to grow, all of a sudden, you know, he's a $60 million man or whatever he signed his contract for. So I would say good for him. I think I would be surprised if at some point Blake Bortles doesn't get an opportunity to run this offense.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Blake Bortles and give you the background on him. He's 28 years old. He was drafted third overall. Top five pick.
Yeah.
Surprised he's not in the Hall of Fame yet. Played for the Jaguars for 5 years. Was with the Rams last year as a backup for three games. And got into three games, but he was a backup last year with the Rams.
Right.
He has started 73 games in his career.
Mm-hmm.
A career record of 24-49.
Right.
Has thrown 103 career touchdowns to 75 interceptions, and actually has a winning playoff record. He is 2-1 in the playoffs, and in 2017. Played really well in an AFC championship game against the Patriots, so much so that the Jaguars had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter at Foxborough and were this close to going to the Super Bowl.
Yes. I always worry about playoff records, though. Remember, Joe Flacco won a playoff game. He was 4-10
yep.
for like 60 yards passing or something disastrous like that and won. But yeah, I mean, again, a veteran set of eyes, and I always give a guy a bit of a hall pass, when he kind of came from Jacksonville. You know what I mean? Like there's a bit of a dysfunction, or has been in the past, although they played well the first two games of the season. But there's always been a bit of dysfunction there. So, I think this is a good, first off, I've always believed in a veteran set of eyes. And you know what? You can be a great teacher when things haven't worked for you. It's one thing when everything has worked for you to be a great mentor and a teacher. Sometimes you ask guys to do things that they can't do. You see things and you process things so much faster than everybody else. But Blake Bortles obviously has had his struggles. That to me there's a great perspective there.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Are you saying then that when Locke comes back and is ready to go, you'd rather have Bortles be his backup than Driscoll?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Bortles will be in that room, and Bortles will be able to help him kind of see the game through somebody's eyes who's struggled, through somebody's eyes who's been on bad teams. You know, I mean, and yeah, I'm calling them a bad team. So let's make no bones about it. Somebody who's been in those situations, you know, there's been around young players, developing players, talented, but developing players. Yeah. He's been there. So I think that's it.
So is Bortles and Driscoll both on this team?
Yeah.
Long term. This year.
Yeah. I don't know about long term.
And when what? You cut Rippon and try to put him back on a practice squad? Is that what you're doing? Or
yeah, I mean, you think people are going to pound the doors down for Rippon?
So they'll carry three quarterbacks.
They should.
Locke, Driscoll, and Bortles.
Well, I mean, if you're giving up 17 hits or 19 hits and 7 quarterback sacks, yeah, you should probably carry 4 on your active roster.
We have 6 quarterbacks.
Just to be sure. You know who was going to be the quarterback if Driscoll went down? Royce Freeman.
Right.
That'd have been fun to see though, right? I wouldn't wish an injury on anybody, but Royce Freeman run a little option.
Maybe Driscoll, actually, Driscoll takes off on a scramble and he like runs out of his shoe.
Right.
And then he needs like a couple plays for them to get the shoe back on or something like that. Or he has a helmet, a malfunction, and he needs. And then, so yeah, there's Freeman out there. Rod Smith was your emergency quarterback, wasn't he?
I think so.
Back in your day?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he was an emergency quarterback, before we got Brian Mitchell with the Washington football team. You're going to love this. You know who the emergency quarterback was?
Before they got Brian Mitchell.
Before they drafted Brian Mitchell in 1990. So in 89, who was our emergency quarterback?
Well, I know you played quarterback up until you were 12.
It wasn't me.
Okay.
Russ Grimm.
No, it was one of the Hogs.
It was Russ Grimm was our emergency quarterback.
Oh, no, that's something you want to see.
That would have been awesome.
Did he ever practice? Did he ever get a rep in practice as a quarterback?
I never saw him take a rep. He just knew, like, they just hand off 60 outside and 60, 70 outside and 66, 77 counter. That's all we would have run.
All right, so it is something that we'll continue to monitor. The Broncos have Blake Bortles in town and might be looking to sign the former Jacksonville Jaguar first-round quarterback. We'll continue to follow that. Also, does Drew could use a block. Does Drew deserve any of the blame for what happened to him? That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about 3 things when buying a vehicle. Number 1, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get 0 down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number 2, selection. Siltahar's 5 dealers in 1 offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number 3, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Could have stepped up and stayed with the play a little bit longer. And then once you start scrambling and any time you hit the ground, you're always in danger of, you know, getting hurt, you know, particularly a quarterback where the shoulders or anything to your throwing arm can happen.
Okay. Vic Fangio saying that Drew Locke, shoulders, sorry, bad pun, part of the blame for what happened to him. You've had a chance to look at the play with your Exos Thundercloud.
Yes, Exos Thundercloud.
So you get the coach's view,
uh-huh,
the coach's tape from behind the line of scrimmage. So you showed it to us. Boy, I'm just a layman here, okay? I'm just a fan. I'm not an expert on offensive line play or quarterback play. But boy, I don't see how you can really put a whole lot of blame on Locke for this, can you?
No, and again, it's one of those situations where, you know, I would have criticism for how Vic has handled things in the public. I mean, you come out and you say something like that. Here would be my biggest issue, and when you say something in the public, to the media, that isn't factual, that isn't 100% true, or it has a piece of truth to it, but it really is not the issue. And the players go back and watch it. Then what happens to your credibility? So when you sit there and say, hey, I'm not going to hold Garrett Bowles accountable, but I'll hold everybody else accountable, then that diminishes. You basically diminish your credibility.
All right, so if he's going to, okay, why then is he going to, when they watch this as a group or if they watch this in their position groups, take me through it. Why is he going to lose credibility?
Well, because there's not one player that would look at that and say, yeah, Drew Locke didn't do a good job there.
Why?
Because one, your right tackle doesn't use his help, gets beat to the outside, the one place he can't get beat because he got inside help. So you should know that. But you've taken a bad set. You are, you know, you shouldn't be a starter. And you got beat. I mean, you got beat in a second and a half. And I get it. If you stepped up, you still gotten hit in the teeth because you didn't pick up the tackle and stunt on the other side. But the bottom line is that you get beat up front so quickly that the quarterback, I mean, by the time he gets into the fifth step of his drop, you're about to hit him. You haven't even gotten into your drop and you're about to get hit. You understand how fast that is? So at that point, it's survival. It's not, well, if I climb the pocket, you know, I mean, you're like,
and plus, so, you've had enough experiences in the past
right.
to not trust this offensive line. So you're probably, your de facto reaction is to,
right.
I got to get the heck out of here.
Right. And I had a lot of you people tell me, well, I mean, this offensive line is just going to be better because Drew Locke can scramble. Well, yeah, you mean he's forced to scramble. That was 1,001 and oh, you know, that was an OS moment. And so he has to get out of there. If you're a player and you look at that and one, you know, those guys, 7 sacks and it's not always 100% their fault. I get that. And I haven't fine tooth combed every sack, but 19 hits. And 7 sacks? Give me a break.
You know, we've talked about this throughout the offseason. We talked about it after week one. Complimenting Locke as a guy, wow, he does a good job of rolling to his right and making plays.
Right.
I wonder how many of the times that he has rolled to his right or run to his right or taken off to his right, escaped to his right, whatever you want to call it, if you go back and looked at it and saw a similar breakdown along that offensive line that you saw on that play that eventually got him hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, those things are going to happen, and you don't have the protection of the pocket, and you'd always like to see, you know, your quarterback step up in the pocket. That, like, you would like to see that.
But who are the quarterbacks in this league that would have had the experience and presence of mind? How long is that list?
It's short. Most of, you know, where most guys get good at stepping up in the pocket is the guys who can't run. Tom Brady is excellent at stepping in the pocket because Tom Brady knows he can't escape to the right or left. He knows that. So that's what he does. But it does. The point being, Mike, is that you have to, if you're going to go out there in the public, go out there to the media, and not hold the people accountable that are accountable and shift blame to guys who aren't accountable, then you circumvent your own authority. Like that can't be.
Vic's not a dumb guy. He's been around forever. Then why?
But he does it consistently.
Why?
I don't know. I don't, you know, are you protecting? Hey, you guys as an organization chose not to address your offensive line. Your tackle position, you knew you had one guy that you paid a lot of money to that doesn't like football. Okay. You also knew you had a guy at the left tackle that you don't like. So you didn't pick up his option. You knew by watching him play last year that Elijah Wilkinson should not be a starter. He should be a backup. You knew all these issues existed. But what did you do? You ignored those issues. You did, you had 10 picks and didn't take a tackle. 10 picks, you didn't address that. And if it wasn't going to be a problem this year, you knew it was going to be a problem next year. And you didn't address it. And of course, you know, everybody is, like everybody on the text line, everything else jumps down my throat. You just want, you know, we got speed and Jerry Jeudy is a, you know, but, and I'm, yeah, he probably is. He's probably the, you know, he's probably the greatest thing ever. I mean, he's probably going to go straight to the Hall of Fame. Unless, of course, you can't block anybody. You're talking about the most dependent position in football. 10 other guys have to do their job for you to sniff a football. How wide open was KJ Hamler on that throw?
He was going to be wide open.
He would have probably scored if you could block somebody. So that's where, you know, that's where speed. You know what? Speed makes you fast. It doesn't make you a good football team. And what people have forgotten, and I've told you this time and time again, Kansas City has great speed. 100%. They got two bookends that they can lock up 5-on-5. They can play 5-0 protection and whip your ass up front and get all five guys out, and they're gonna find a way to be open.
Coming up, we got 4 down territory, and this one's gonna hurt. This one's gonna hurt bad. Choke down the bile bad. Are the Raiders for real? That's next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is 4 down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No source fiesta.
Hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Yeah, Cortland will miss the rest of the season. Drew's going to be out anywhere to probably 3 to 4 or 5 weeks, you know, all depend upon the healing process.
Vic Fangio with the injury updates. You know me, always Mr. Glass half full.
That's what I always think about when I think about you.
Choosing to look at the bright side.
But I think the glass is half full because you drank the first half.
Good point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's look at the silver linings to this.
Okay, great.
First of all, with Cortland Sutton out, you are going to fast forward, microwave, to use the Troy Rank term, microwave the development and see what you got in Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. And it'll also force you to stop ignoring Noah Fant for large stretches of games. Man, I'm watching Darren Waller, more on the Raiders in a minute. I'm watching Darren Waller last night, and I'm like, tell me why the Broncos can't use Noah Fant the same exact way that the Raiders and John Gruden are using Waller.
Yeah, I'd like to see that as well. Noah Fant, I mean, you're watching Noah Fant just run away from linebackers. You're watching Noah Fant. He's just that big, that strong, that athletic. Now, Waller is a more multi-purpose tight end. Like, he'll get on the end of the line of scrimmage in a Y and just absolutely, you know, control the edge of the line of scrimmage. But, you know, that takes time, and I think Noah Fant could get there as well. But yeah, I mean, you can't let Noah Fant disappear for a half. You can't let him just go, hey, we're really going to focus on him, and now we're going to focus on somebody else. Until they take it away, then keep going to it. I believe in being a play repeater. I believe in, if somebody doesn't take it away, keep running it until, I mean, run it till the cows come home. Where does that come from, by the way? Run it till the cows come
home. The other silver lining, I'm not taking the bait. So quit asking. The other one is that Locke is going to be out about a month.
Yeah.
About 4 games, which means that you still have in play the ultimate overarching goal of this season is to find out if this guy can be the guy. And you can still have him play, what, upwards of 8-9 games?
Still? Yeah. You're still to figure it out.
Yeah, which is...
Right.
A good amount of time. So there you go. Couple silver linings. Next in 4 down territory.
Second down.
Broncos down to this.
Oh, lady! I got
this. Driscoll under pressure and going down. From the far side of the field, Terrell Edmonds got to him. And the ball will go over to the Steelers.
CBS Sports there. Bad times for Vic Fangio keep getting worse. He was fined $100,000, and the Broncos were fined $250,000 because Vic didn't wear his mask during the game the other day. He's not alone. Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan also get fined. More fines would appear to be in the offing. Last night, we didn't see Gruden or Sean Payton wearing theirs. So a lot of money being funneled into the NFL's fine coffers. Why? Why this? I mean, these are stringent fines.
Yeah, I've got to believe that it's optic. Like, we're doing our part. And because the coaches are getting, what, you know, you want to talk about living in a bubble. Who lives in more of a bubble than coaches?
Good point.
I mean, they're over at the facility 18 hours a day. They don't go to the grocery store. They don't go out. I mean, they don't go anywhere.
They have no life.
No. And then they go home and they sleep. Now, all right, your significant other, your wife is out to the grocery store or whatever. But, you know, I mean, there's not very many guys that live in more of a bubble than a coach. And they're taking tests. They're taking COVID tests every day, right? Don't they take them too every day?
Yeah.
I think it's simply optics. Hey, we want to set great optics for our, you know, for our fans, and to say we're doing our part. We're wearing our masks. We're doing everything that we can do to keep our players healthy and all that stuff. So I just believe that that's pretty much the way it goes.
Yeah, the idea. Hey, look, you got 5,700 fans at the Broncos game this week. Maybe you'll get more and more as this goes along. But in order to be able to do this,
yes.
We're all in this together, right?
This is kind of one of those, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Carr going to throw. Rolls right wide open. Touchdown, Waller. Beautiful play. Fourth down. Write it down. Fourth down and one at the goal line. Mr. Groot gambles. And Derek Carr with a terrific play call. Waller was wide open, coach.
Ugh.
Fourth down, write it down.
Raiders Radio, Brett Musburger. You're Brett. Looking live at the Death Star. Kind of a cool looking stadium. I can't wait for that day when there are 50,000 Bronco fans there for a Broncos Raiders game. That's going to be so much fun. But, Mark, hold on. File coming up. Let me choke it back down.
Yeah.
The Raiders look pretty good.
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, you know, they've got continuity. They've been building their team from the inside out for years. A quarterback who takes a lot of heat in Derek Carr is now finally, over the last couple of years, they finally replenished the weapons for him, and they give him the protection, and they give him a running game. They give him some play-action ability. Like they built it that way. And they look pretty good. And if this defense comes around, Jonathan Abram is like that dude's a heat-seeking missile. This defense comes around under Paul Gunther. They've got a chance, man.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, I mean, to be 100% transparent, anytime you get injured, it's a horrible thing. You know, you play football to play, not to sit out. And this is part of the game, and it happens. But, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I think everything happens for a reason. And I think everything is perspective and attitude. And when you look at it, you can win or you learn. And right now is a learning experience for me.
There's the Panthers' Christian McCaffrey, our own Christian McCaffrey. Boy, the list of stars that have been, you know, seriously hurt, out for the year type stuff over these first 2 weeks is staggering. McCaffrey's not out for the year, but he's going to miss a number of weeks. Saquon Barkley done, Cortland Sutton done, Nick Bosa done, on and on it goes. Why? Why are we seeing all these injuries? Is this the byproduct of no preseason?
Well, I think that this has a lot to do with you continue to legislate contact and practice out of a contact game. And the only way you get in shape, and I'm not just talking about cardiovascular shape to play football, I'm talking shape to play football. I'm talking about kinesthetic awareness, and I'm talking about the skills that are required to react when people are pushing on you. It's one thing to run fast in shorts and a t-shirt. It's another thing to run fast in pads with somebody pushing on you. And you don't develop, there's just not enough development time. There's not enough practice time. There, all this stuff is to me one of the major reasons you're seeing so many soft tissue, ligament, and tendon issues, because your body just is not, it's just not calloused. It's just not ready.
A Charles Johnson fifth down special, again, repeating what we told you an hour ago, Blake Bortles, the former third overall pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was a backup with the Rams last year. He is in town and is set to visit with the Broncos today. So
can we get Mike of, breaking news, though? Can you, because you broke the news. You're the newsbreaker.
The possibility that Blake Bortles could be brought on board to join the Broncos quarterback room.
Okay, this just in. Breaking news. Hit it. Go, Mike. You're a newsman. You're like Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, right. So Blake Bortles, according to my sources, Blake Bortles, in town.
That would have been better if you'd have gone. This just in, off the wire, from my sources, Mike Evans, reports that Blake Bortles is in Denver going to meet with your Denver Broncos.
How would the folks down the hall handle that one?
Don't.
No.
Do not right. get
no.
me fired.
No. No, let's just leave it there.
Oh, you are.
We always try to say, we're not here to entertain you. We're just here to entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Up next, Nolan Arenado. Not exactly slamming the door on talk that he may have played his final games as a Rocky. We'll talk to Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, about it next. Our Rockies insider, Patrick Saunders, is presented by Twin Peaks. He joins us for his weekly visit. Good morning, Patrick.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I am well. I'd like to go right to the article you wrote for the Denver Post, in which you have Nolan Arenado quoted as saying, all those things kind of go through your head about the possibility that he's played his last home game as a Rocky. I don't know what's going to happen next year, but I would assume there are going to be some changes. Right now, I'm just focused on trying to get my body back and focused on getting stronger this offseason. Do you believe Nolan Arenado has played his final game as a Rocky at Coors Field?
You know what? I'm going to say this after talking to a number of people. I think it's right now it's about 50-50. And if you had asked me this before the pandemic, I would have said chances are Nolan probably wouldn't have even played for the Rockies for 2021. But the landscape is so changed now because I don't think teams have a lot of money to spend. Nolan is owed $35 million. So, like I said, 50-50. I would not be shocked to see him traded. But then if he's not traded, you got to wonder, is Nolan going to be willing to opt out if he's not going to be able to get as big a contract? So he's a little bit in limbo right now, but I know Nolan, he definitely thinks this team is going to go through some changes.
What about the rest of the organization, Jeff Breidich and the brain trust that is putting this team together? Are they going to shake things up over there on 20th and Blake?
That's the, you know, multi-million dollar question mark, because, you know, Dick Monfort's on the record saying he wants to extend Trevor Story. But again, that, and Trevor's entering his final season in 2021. Then you have to start to ask yourself, well, you know, if the team doesn't make the playoffs, and it certainly looks like they're not going to, they're hanging on by a thread, do they make a move to bring in some new players? Do they not necessarily tear things down, but do they rebuild? And if they do, and they want new pieces, they're going to have to do something dramatic. So does that mean trying to move Trevor Story, who might even get him more than Nolan? I just don't know. You know, the Rockies are a very conservative organization. Maybe they'll, you know, tweak here or there like they normally do and try to stay status quo. I wish I had a better answer for you, but Jeff Breidich doesn't talk to us very often, and Dick Monfort talks to us like once a year. So I hate to be fudging here. I just really don't know what's going to happen with this organization.
When you look at Nolan Arenado's performance this year in this sprint He just hasn't been any good. I mean, he really has not been good. How much of it do you think is because of this shoulder injury that he's being, you know, possibly shut down for?
Well, he is going to be shut down. He's out for the rest of the season. I think it was a major part of it. I don't think it affected his defense, but it affected his swing. You know, and Nolan has a kind of a unique swing, and he's got this uppercut to it at the end that he uses to drive the ball. And he simply didn't have the power to do that. And I don't know how much you guys watched, but, you know, he had warning track power for, you know, ever since he jammed that shoulder back in July. I can't tell you how many shots I thought, oh, that's going out of the ballpark, and they ended up with the warning track. So I think it affected him a lot. And then I texted Nolan, and I can't tell you everything that he told me about it, but I think it really, really bothered him a lot. And I think more than that, I think what happened, guys, was, you know, Nolan is such a grinder and such a gym rat, so to speak. And rather than rest it, I think Nolan kept trying to push it and push it and push it, when what it really needed was rest and not so many reps with in the batting cage. But Nolan got frustrated, and he wanted to get better fast, and that was probably not the thing he should have done. I think that's my theory as to what happened.
So going forward, because Nolan is sublime on the defensive side, and we know when he's healthy, he's unbelievable on the offensive side as well. Would it behoove Dick Monfort and the Rockies to clear out the people in charge right now and try to make amends or try to keep Nolan satisfied? I mean, would that be, and I'm asking you to speculate, is that something that you think would be viable?
You know, I don't think that's the solution, because even if Jeff Breidich in the front office, we know Nolan doesn't get along with Jeff Breidich. I don't know how he feels about the rest of the front office. But even if he did that, I'm not sure no one wants to be in this environment anymore in Colorado. He hasn't told me that, but that's just my gut feeling. I think no one wants a change of venue. I think he wants to go somewhere else. That's my opinion. So do you clean up everything upstairs just to pacify or to make Nolan feel welcome? And I don't know. And I don't think Dick Monfort works that way. Like, it's a sticky situation, and I'm not sure what the solution is. You know, does Nolan end up like Todd Helton, who played his entire career here for 17 seasons? And yes, he became an icon of the franchise, but there were years when Todd Helton was not a happy player. He came to terms with things toward the end, and of course going to the World Series and all that magical run really helped him. But there was a time when Todd Helton was very, very frustrated, and you know, and no one told me, I think it was 2.5 years ago, he said as much as he respected Todd Helton, he didn't want to end up like Todd Helton. And he told me that on the record. So, guys, it's, you know, I wish I had better answers for you, but to me, it's a very, you know, we're in limbo right now with this organization. And, you know, whether 2.5 games outside the final wild card with 7 to go, there's 3 teams ahead of them. It would take a, you know, it would take a Rocktober-style thing to get them in. But even if they get into the playoffs, I mean, after seeing what we've seen with this team, I think they need changes. And whether that's Nolan leaving or them making a dramatic move somewhere else, I just don't know.
All right. Hey, Patrick, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Kind of somber, a little sober.
Yeah,
it's like talking about the Broncos. Really sober right now. So,
well, you know, and I wish I could be more definitive, that I just simply don't have all the answers to some of your very good but tough questions, because I'm not sure the Rockies even know right now.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick. Thank you. Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider from the Denver Post, presented by Twin Peaks. It'd be better not to be sober to handle some of what's going on right now.
That's
obvious.
Yeah. I mean,
So did you see Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic talking about Rockies ownership?
No. Uh-uh.
About the possibility of sweeping front office changes after he talked about how Jeff Breidich, after an 11-3 start, how the Rockies have fallen apart, and all of the swings and misses that Jeff Breidich has had with free agency, from Ian Desmond to Daniel Murphy to Jake McGee to Wade Davis, right?
Think about Wade Davis, Jake McGee, and Brian Shaw. Jake McGee's still pitching now. He's the only one that's still pitching, I believe, because Brian Shaw got released from the Mariners, and obviously Wade Davis just got released. But you spent, what, over $100 million on those three guys.
So,
and, I mean, like, I've got a solution. Would you like to hear my solution?
Yeah, blow up the entire front office.
But I've got a solution. I've got an answer. It's not just blow up the office. It's blow up the entire office and bring Clint Hurdle back to be the president of baseball operations. So Clint Hurdle, you know, cut his teeth, obviously, in this organization to some degree from a management standpoint, a coaching standpoint, but also from a mentorship standpoint with Kelly McGregor. And what you need is you need a relational overhaul within that organization. Because, you know, and I'm on the outside looking in, but I have enough connections to, I just don't think it doesn't feel right.
Well, you just have to blow up the whole O'Dowd.
Right.
Dynasty. That's what this is. I mean, this is the whole O'Dowd doctrine that has been carried on by his guy, his right hand man, Jeff Breidich. Here's what Ken Rosenthal, after laying out all of the mistakes that Dr. Breidich has made here,
mm-hmm.
and about the possibility of the Rockies and Dick Monfort actually doing something about it, here's what he wrote. Quote, Rockies ownership, though, seems to exist in a parallel universe to the rest of baseball, operating in an inert state. Thus, Breidich appears safe. I mean, you want to talk about hold.
Yeah, I know.
Dick Monfort, for some reason, I mean, it's a smart guy, terrific businessman.
Sure.
He's
a tall guy.
He seems paralyzed to the idea of change. That making a move as sweeping as this, where you basically start over and thus have to go out and start over, the idea of that seems to paralyze him. How else to explain that you have kept the O'Dowd model, which is basically a failed model, really, except for a couple of blips here and there, is a failed model. It just is. That's not opinion. That's fact. It's a failed model from a baseball standpoint. Why he is paralyzed to shake that up.
You look at the two teams we probably spend more time talking about than any other two teams, the Broncos and the Rockies. You want to talk about polar opposites. Just continuity upon continuity upon continuity with your people in your front office. And from a, you know, just from that standpoint, not changing things up. Well, I guess the front office is the same, right, for the Broncos. I'm saying lack of continuity from a coaching standpoint constantly over there. There's constant turnover with the Broncos. But I guess the front office is, from a continuity standpoint, it's the same. Same people, same philosophy, same approach, same result.
Yep.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.